All right, welcome back to Consider Dead. This is episode 3, and today we'll be having a Halloween special, talking about movies, music,
everything Halloween.
Yeah, so our first song we're going to play for you is King Diamond, Halloween.
It's good. Let's say it to ourselves. Alright, let's go.
That's it. Alright, let's go. Let's go.
Carry on the tradition.
You're just like, I'm a real one.
So that was Halloween by King Diamond. One of the greats, one of Brian's favorite bands.
Halloween!
Yeah, we want to do something special because, you know, Halloween's my favorite time of the year.
Hell yeah.
Fuck Christmas.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Christmas. It's just
all about the gore and the violence and the scares.
Christmas just sounds like in-depth and
buying gifts.
It's too happy.
For money you don't have.
You gotta be happy for a whole fucking month.
There you go.
You gotta listen to fucking Christmas music everywhere you go. You gotta listen to the same old songs been playing for last 50 years.
Why does everyone make fun of that? Mariah Carey? They said that as soon as Halloween's over, Mariah Carey Christmas songs come out.
She just takes over.
Hilarious.
But yeah, like, again, my favorite time of the year is Halloween. You know, I used to go to Halloween Horror Nights every year.
Oh, yeah.
For the longest time. You know, it was fucking expensive, but I love going there. You know, they have the atmosphere, you know, like, you know, their movie studio, so they have better effects and stuff when you go through the mazes.
A ton of actors.
Yeah, and everything's all based on movies. So, you know, they had, like, the movie Halloween. I think they had Freddy Krueger there once. The Exorcist one, that was probably my favorite one. They had the original Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
That house was fucking scary.
They always have something crazy going on in Universal Studios. I just remember, I always like it when they are, you know, they're about to open. They have, like, the gates closed. They have, like, fire blowing up.
Oh, my God. That's so badass. That was the best part, getting there early before they open. They're playing. They always play, like, Rob Zombie or something.
Something
or
Marilyn
Manson. And then you see, like, the zombie strippers when you walk into Universal Studios. They have them on poles and shit. And you see all these fools coming out all fucking.
There's always somebody crazy. Or they come, like, with chainsaws. Like, yeah, they start running out.
Yeah, that was only fun. The only part that sucked was the lines, dude. You're like waiting 3 hours in line just to go through like a 10-minute maze.
We went to a horror night. I don't know. What you call it? My friend, she got like I don't know, was crutches or.
Oh, shit.
Is that crutches?
The one that goes underneath her arms?
Maybe. I was the one with the little tennis balls.
Oh, like that little push cart?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it is. Sorry. I don't know the term. But she brought it because she has back problems or something like that. And they were like, oh, well, you need a pass for that. Oh, she was like, well, I don't have no medical pass. So they just gave her a pass and it counts for 5 people. Oh, so we got like
those you front of the line pass?
Yeah, we got front of the line pass because of her. And I was just telling everyone, well, man, I'm just gonna like bring a cast or something.
Break your leg.
Bring a cane or something and just like.
Those lines are insane, dude. And like those passes like that, they cost like $200.
Yeah. So
the front of the line passes. Fuck.
But that year we were in the front of lines all the time. That was pretty dope. Yeah.
You know, the one I like better though, only because it was cheaper and the lines went faster. And it was pretty much just the same. Like, felt the same. It was the Knott's Berry Farm one.
Oh, really?
Knott's Berry Farm. Oh, I love that one.
I haven't been there in so long. I'm not gonna lie.
They had really good ones there. Like they had, like,
I heard that they have good mazes and everything.
They even had one every year I've gone. They've had this one where they give you paintball guns and you shoot the actors or zombies and shit.
I still missed it.
And it's like all like glow in the dark place. And
it sounds like a lawsuit ready to happen.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I think I ended up liking going there more. But nothing this year. I guess this year they just have the drive-through ones I've been seeing.
Oh, that's if I have time for that. I mean, like, I don't know if you guys noticed, but, like, to do anything special for Halloween was kind of, like, already sold out.
Was it?
I was already looking at September for looking for things to do for October. Everything was already booked.
Everybody's itching to get out.
Yeah, everyone just wants to do something, so everything was kind of booked. So it's hard. You have to like look in advance. But yeah, I remember when they were trying to cancel Halloween, bro. When they announced on the news, they're like, "We're canceling Halloween." 2 hours later, "We're not canceling Halloween."
So then everybody started rioting. They're like, "Oh no, never mind. We're just kidding."
It's just a tradition here, man. We've been doing it for like, I don't know.
I mean, I can see no trick or treating, but you know, people need something to do on Halloween. You know, like I said, they have these little drive-throughs open. They have, I guess they're, I don't know if they're parties or clubs that'll be open. I don't know if they're here in L.A. or a little outside of L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But they have, like, these Halloween parties, and I'm pretty sure it's heavily regulated, though, if it's at a specific place.
Yeah.
You have to wear masks, and only a certain amount of people are allowed.
They're making everything usually outside, you know?
Yeah.
That's how they're doing it.
But, yeah, well, I mean, we've been having our Halloween parties.
Oh, yeah.
Brian had his birthday 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was
fun. Costume Halloween party. That shit was fun.
Okay, that was a surprise birthday party thing.
Oh, yeah. It was a surprise, man. We were planning it for like 2 weeks. And
it was funny because I was pretty pissed.
Yeah, his wife was telling me the whole time, like, yeah, Brian's pissed. Because his wife told him that she's taking him to her coworker's party and he has to dress up. And she bought him this stupid baby shark costume. He looked fucking ridiculous. So he was pissed, and the day that they were supposed to go to the party is the day he actually came here for the surprise, and you know, Brian shows up in his little shark outfit, and I'm talking to Brian like a little dog, like, Brian, what's happening? What's happening? What are you doing here, Brian? What's going on? And Brian's just like, what the fuck?
I'm just looking at you like, bro, I don't even know why I'm here.
I record him the whole time, and yeah, so we had the whole place decorated all Halloween. My buddy Kevin and Justin helped out. We had a bartender for Brian. He had a DJ. Had all the friends over.
Yeah, everyone came.
Bro, we were just playing metal music the whole night.
Yeah, that was fun. We had like a little mosh pit wrestling match.
Oh, yeah. He did the Walls of Jericho.
I tried to do the Walls of Jericho.
I was dying. That was pretty funny.
We did a little karaoke at the end, dancing. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a really fun night.
I mean, even though Halloween is not as exciting as it usually is, but...
I know, we made it work, at least for us, we made it work. Yeah,
there's a handful of people, you know, being safe. I mean, we didn't freaking invite like a billion people, but
yeah,
that is what it is.
Yeah, we're trying to be as COVID safe as possible. That's, you know, the reason why we had a bartender, so he controls all the drinks and stuff. Not everybody's reaching down, grabbing shit.
Yeah, true.
So what is like one character you want to dress up as for Halloween?
Like, I really wanted to?
Yeah. That you've always wanted to do, but you've never done.
The Predator?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fuck.
Just self-destruct for no reason.
Your son was just hanging out.
Well, you're supposed to have a six-pack, no?
Oh, but shit. I'll be the alien fool, my son.
Two aliens.
Oh, shit. Make two aliens out of me? Stupid.
Predator
and I'll be Ripley with the alien coming out of her stomach and shit.
Stupid. I'll be the alien coming out.
I can't even picture that, dude.
There you go.
I think for me, I always wanted to, remember Robin Hood, Men in Tights?
Yeah.
I always wanted to be Blink, the blind guy.
Oh, Lincoln, yeah.
And wear the tights and shit. But I wanted to, like, do it with a group of people so we can do the we're men in tights. I always wanted to do that, man.
I always remember they were like, where is that? What's his name? The guy you just said?
Blinken.
They were like, who's guarding tonight? And they put him on the watchtower.
They put him on the watchtower. He's blind.
He's blind.
You see him looking across.
He's, he's like legit taking his job really seriously. I know, right?
Nah, dude, when they went to go storm the castle and they were fighting and shit, and that fool was like had his sword and he was fighting a fucking tree the whole time. Or the pole, the wood pole.
Something, yeah.
That shit was hilarious.
I gotta watch that movie again.
I know, I haven't. I wanna get high and watch it. I think there was another part where when they first find him, when Robin Hood went back to his castle and they moved out and they took the whole castle, and he was just sitting there taking a shit, and he pulls out a Playboy magazine. It was like Playboy magazine in Braille.
Yeah, there
like,
you
oh,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh shit.
And then when they had Dave Chappelle in it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Dave Chappelle was in it.
Yeah,
the fool
yeah.
had that baseball cap on backwards or a hat.
Yeah, something like that.
Instead of, you know, that narrow hat that they were all wearing.
Yeah, they were all wearing.
That was a dope movie.
That was a great movie. So what's the first movie that pops into your head when you think of Halloween?
So for Halloween, I'm trying to think, is there a movie that I've seen every year for Halloween? Or at least consistently. I don't know, because, I always try to look for something new to watch, something new, some new horror movie, especially during Halloween. That's when they usually come out, and it's hard to find good ones. But the one good one, I guess, still scares me to this day, is the original Exorcist from 1973.
Oh, man. That was like nightmares.
Dude, that was nightmares. Like, my introduction, I guess, you hear about the devil as a kid. But when you watch that movie when you're young, like, that was the devil to you. Because that's what it presented itself as, the devil. Like, And that face is just so horrific. Like, I've seen so many movie Exorcist films that's come out since, and it's nowhere near as terrifying as what they did back in 1973 with the effects and stuff, and the eyes and the cut up face and the fucked up teeth and the voice. Like,
yeah.
Like, no one's even come close to that. And I think what made it so scary was there's no CGI.
Yeah, I know.
They had to build everything, whether it's animatronics or robotic stuff, the makeup alone, and even the voice. The voice was actually...
It wasn't done by that same girl?
No, it was done by an older woman. She had been in the film industry for a long time. She was a fairly famous woman, mm-hmm. and she was known for having a deeper voice.
All right.
So this director, William Friedkin, who was... on a hot roll at that time, he was nabbing Oscar nominated people to do that movie, mm-hmm. and I can't think of the woman's name for the life of me, but she was an older woman at that time, and she already had a deep voice, and he made her drink a shit ton of whiskey and chain smoke like a motherfucker to make her voice even deeper, and that's what the voice is. So it's someone's actual real voice. It's not altered. It's this woman's actual voice that he made drink whiskey, get that harshness, and chain smoke like crazy to make it even, like, this director is fucking crazy.
He's like, I need you to smoke and drink whiskey real quick. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, and then he would just, you know, she would just be in a sound booth recording all the lines and stuff, and yeah, I mean, even, like, the scenes in that movie are just fucking shocking, bro.
They're like nightmare material.
Nightmare shocking, man.
I just remember people were saying that they were having, like having seizures or...
Fainting
and throwing up.
Leaving the theater, because the content in there is just beyond any... The fact that back in those days, 1910, for someone to come up with something so vile... It was fucking crazy, but I mean, that director's crazy, so.
What was it, 70s?
1973, man.
Sheesh.
Like, think about it, like, the horror movies that people had seen then is just like, you know, the Wolfman and the original Frankenstein and Dracula. Uh-huh. This shit was on a whole other fucking universe.
Shit. I can't imagine. And especially at a time where people were still very, like, religious. Very, very.
Yeah, it was
old school.
But yeah, between the girl's head spinning around, like, that shit was fucked up, bro. Like, you didn't even see it coming. You just see her sitting there. The priest is trying to, like, do his thing and say shit to her. And you just see the head going, you hear the cracking of the neck spinning around. And then he said something. He said, like, something about Jesus, and their head just and, like, fixates on her. I'm just like, what the fuck, like,
nah, that movie was intense, man. Like, I don't know. I saw it as a kid, and I know I was kind of scared, and I saw it as an adult, and I was kind of scared. Nothing really changed. It's just the whole vibe. There was a whole vibe to that movie.
Well, I mean, the whole production was all fucked. Like, you know, in college, I did a 15 page thesis on the movie, and did all these research, and I read all the fucked up things that happened. You know, like, the movie took, like, what, almost 2 years to make? You gotta understand, even with today's technology and making movies, action films and stuff, it mm-hmm. takes like 3-4 months to make. This movie took damn near 2 years to make. And like, the producers, when they would go see, like, what this director, William Friedkin, is doing, and they would just take one look at all the shit that's going on, they'll just be like, I don't want nothing to do with this. Just finish the fucking job.
Sheesh.
And but like, you know, like, people would die on set, or family members would die, or the set would catch on fire, or shit would just always happen, like, for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what they were saying, was kind of cursed or something. Huh?
Yeah, and I didn't even know. I was watching something not too long ago, and the director, he was known for hiring actual people who to fill. Like, for instance, like, he hired an actual priest mm-hmm. to play one of the priest roles. When the girl was getting, a CT scan or whatever, when mm-hmm. she was in the hospital, she actually hired the hospital people there nearby to do it, just to get the real, so it was not acting. It was actually real what they're doing and stuff. And I guess one of those, the doctors there, or the nurses, whatever, that was in the actual film, he ended up being like a serial killer or some shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, and it was like, there's just like so much shit tied to it. And I think I like this director, when he hired that priest, it was like the local priest near what they were filming. And it was towards the end when the main priest, he said, take me.
Yeah.
So the goes inside that priest, and the priest just jumps out the window, fucking, mm-hmm. Twists his neck down the stairway.
Yeah.
A priest comes and gives him his last rites, like holding his hand, giving him his last rites. And he's supposed to be startled and shaken up, because it was gruesome how he died. And it was an actual priest. The director, hired him. And, this guy's not an actor. So they do a couple takes, and this priest isn't doing what the director wants. He wasn't showing that emotion. So the director goes up and backhands the priest. Doesn't slap him. Backhands him as hard as he can. Startles the shit out of him. He's like, now do it. And he's like, action. And then so when you see that priest come and try to hold his hand, give his last right, he's shaking. So the director just beat the shit out of him, basically. I'm telling you, this director didn't give a fuck. Jeez. And like he even said that he's like, yeah, we were meddling with things we should have, and I felt it. But he was such a hard ass, like one of those just old school people that, you can't scare him. Like, shit's happening. It's clear bad shit is happening. It's like, I don't give a fuck. We're going to finish this movie.
Oh, might as well. They're already gone that far in.
Yeah, but that movie got nominated for 11 Oscars. It's tied for the most between... It was that one, and I think this movie called All About Eve and Lord of the Rings are the most nominated films.
Yeah, but even until today, they still talk about Texas.
Yeah, that's just scary.
It's just a really well-made movie, you know?
Yeah. Regardless of what even, like, said. The dialogue, the writing was just spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so to me, that was what the devil was growing up.
Nah.
So many sleepless nights.
I still remember, even till today, just those little intense scenes.
Right, every time they would just go into the room.
Yeah, because that
you're like, some like, what the fuck is gonna happen now?
No, but the girl was always like getting inside their head. You know, she would say little lines like, "Oh, I know what happened to your mom," or something like that.
Oh yeah, she's like, "Oh, she told the priest like your mother sucks cock in hell."
Yeah,
like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, oh hell no. Like, his
mom, the priest's mom, just an elderly woman. I was like, what the fuck? And then she plays mind tricks with them, and she pretends to talk like the mom and shit.
Or isn't there one point where she like pretends like she's good again, like she went back to normal? I think there was a part she went. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Because she slowly keeps deteriorating.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know. She like faked it. She's like, I'm good. And then she just starts fucking.
Oh, I think she passed out. I think she kind of like passed out. And he was like, okay, tries to tie her back up, and she just rises and beats the shit out of him.
He's like, I'm not done yet. There you go.
Yeah, I like the scene where before it really got bad, he's a priest, but he's a psychiatrist. And he goes to talk to her as a psychiatrist, the girl's all tied up and shit. And he's like, well, if you're the devil or your demon, why don't you move that desk drawer and open it? And she just looks at him like, that's much too vulgar power of display. Like, that shit's not worth my power to do. Like, you'll see what I can do. Like, don't worry.
Jeez.
I was like, damn. And I think she does actually move it, though.
Does she?
Yeah.
I don't remember, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Let's watch it.
Let's watch it right now.
Let's do it right now.
Let's stop the podcast. Let's watch it right now.
Do a live stream of it.
Let's do it. Have being night terrors again. Shit, that movie was great, though. I'm not gonna lie. I want to watch it again and just relive it. But I was just, I just going off of like what I remember as a kid.
Like, nah.
Well, the thing is, I don't remember most of it because I was looking away, like, oh my God, I just hear the noises and everything. But
the voice.
The voice is just there. I think I could try to imitate it or something because, like, I hear that voice in my head sometimes. I'm like, oh God.
And you're alone in the dark. So, we're going to go to our second song, and one of my favorite bands, I want to play The Misfits, Dig Up Her Bones.
Yo!
long as it's mine. And the door, it opens way back in. Or is it way back out? Any place is where she'll be. Any place she'll see you from. Lies and secrets, they call your world. Anytime, anywhere, she takes me away. And that climbs up the steps one by one to give you the rose that's been earned by her son. Point me to the sky above. I can't get there on my own. Walk me to the graveyard. Dig a purple.
Sound like how that sound.
And we are back.
Dude, the Misfits are like the perfect choice for Halloween music.
Well, yeah, they
got literally every song is all fucking death and everything. Halloween and
everything
gothic and shit. What are they called? The horror punk. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Horror punk.
Yeah, that's perfect fit. Freaking Misfits are old school.
I feel like the 80s is when music. Like, there was, like, horror music kind of started coming out.
Mm-hmm. All genres.
Yeah, like, all genres kind of started covering it. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have darker stuff like The Misfits, but then you have, lighter stuff like Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Thriller, there you go.
You know, the song is, like, it's a pop song to listen to, but, like, I remember watching the music video, it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, it used to creep me out.
Yeah, dude, like the special effects and everything, the zombies mm-hmm. and him turning into a werewolf. He was a scary ass werewolf, bro.
Oh, it just tripped me out when the girl goes into that house and they're all trying to break in.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that one zombie had like fucking oil dripping out of his mouth and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Michael Jackson was so big back then that he actually got the director of the movie American Werewolf in London, mm-hmm. which is a really great film. He got him to direct the music video. That's why the music video is so good.
Oh, wow.
He got like an actual director to do it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so that's why the special effects are spot on. Him as a werewolf is spot on. The zombies and all that shit.
Yeah, when it comes to like the whole like horror thing, like we were just talking about The Exorcist, and there's this band called Possessed, and they actually cover like a whole Exorcist song in the beginning of it.
They talk about the movie?
Well, basically, is inspired by it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but if you listen to it, they play like a piano clip of The Exorcist, and they start going off their own music, but straight death metal. But it's like the beginning of death metal, so it doesn't sound too Cookie Monster, but you hear the resemblance of the whole growl, like what you think would sound the beginning.
Yeah.
And they just like, you know, like Lenny from Motorhead, you know, it's like, like raspy, but it's like that's what death metal kind of came from. Those really raspy voices.
What happened there? I'm trying to think where I'm gonna go from there, and I gotta come up with
it. I saw you look into another dimension. I was like, whoa, I was like, what is he looking at? I was like,
dude, like a little kid, like those little kids in the movie when they're like looking at something, you're like, there's something behind them.
I was just like, what's going on? You know, you ever see that movie From Darkness?
From Darkness.
Is it From Darkness? I don't
know. Or From Hell.
No. Let me see.
Johnny Depp one?
Is the one with the freaking Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy?
Yeah.
Oh, the Darkness Falls.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I remember seeing that. You know, they have it on Amazon Prime too right now.
Is that what it's called? Darkness Falls?
Yeah, dude, about that witch or Tooth Fairy witch.
Yeah.
Dude, her scream scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, where she only lives in the shadows. That this one, yeah, this crazy lady, supposed to be like the Tooth Fairy, right?
Yeah, like some back, like some what?
She only lives 1700s. Yeah, she only lives in the shadows or something like that. She can't be in the light.
Yeah, she comes out during like a certain time of the year, and yeah, that was it. I remember her voice, like her scream was like so disturbing to hear.
It just made me feel very anxious. Because, like, they always make those scenes where you see, like, the light kind of, like, fading or the light bulb, blinking. Or you're just like, oh, no, please. And I remember watching that movie for the first time. They rented it, and I saw it in the living room. And I was like, whoa, this movie's kind of creepy. And I had a night terror in the middle of the night. And there's a scene in the movie where the kid, you know, they just survived the Tooth Fairy. And he's sleeping, and he kind of wakes up. And then it's like slowly this hand goes on his shoulder and he's like, ah! And it's just his mom. And he's like, oh, you know, he thought it was a tooth fairy. Like she came back like, I'm here, bitch. You know, but here's me in real life. I just saw the movie. I woke up looking out the window like, ah, it's just a dream, Brian. You know, whatever. I had a weird nightmare. And all of a sudden there's this little hand on my shoulder. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was my mom. And she's like, she's just like, what are you doing awake? I'm like, how you get in my room? I was like, what the fuck?
Damn, dude, all sneaky and
shit. Yeah, but she just like, I don't know when she opened the door or nothing, but like, it reminded me exactly like that scene in the movie, and it freaked the fuck out. I was like, oh, God. I was like, she was laughing so hard. And I was thinking, and I told her, like, how'd you get in here? Why are the lights off? Like, why didn't you turn on the light, walk in like a normal person? She just...
She, like, stuck to the shadows.
Yeah, she probably came in just like her. She was, like, slithering her way in.
What is a famous horror movie theme to? What's the original score?
Was it Halloween? Like, Michael... Was it
Michael Myers. That one had a piano, too.
Yeah, he has his own thing.
The Halloween Michael Myers one, I thought it was, like... I guess that was more like a slasher film?
Yeah.
But I never thought it was scary.
No, it was more like jump scare. It wasn't like, oh my God, I'm terrified.
More
was...
like of a thriller.
Yeah. Suspense. It just makes you jump because you come out of nowhere, man.
Yeah.
Freaking instant transmission.
Stop him. He'll fucking shoot him. He'll just fall down and get right back up.
I know. He can't stop.
Take him. A breath real quick and come back up.
Seriously.
What about The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Oh. That one, yeah, it has a lot of.
This is Halloween.
That was
a musical. That was a good one.
A lot of musical parts in that movie.
Yeah, all Tim Burton.
Yeah, Mr. Tim Tim. And it's funny because he does like very serious movies, and then he does like.
I know he does like these gothic children's.
Yeah.
Horror cartoons.
Yeah, and it was like, what the heck? Like this guy's going like all over the place. But that movie did well, and I think a lot of people
to this day. You know,
I don't think
so many diehard fans of it.
They didn't believe in that movie either because
the animation.
Yeah, because I think Disney was putting them out, but Disney was like, "Oh, I don't think this movie's gonna do great," so they didn't put their name in it. They invested into it, but they didn't put their name out and be like, "Oh, we're the ones who put it in." So they put a different company as a cover up, just to see if it did good or not. But at first, they didn't put their name. But if you were to watch a movie, like you won't see their name, like come on, like Disney. Now it does. If you watch the
such a big movie now.
Yeah, now it's like that was us. Yeah.
Now, even to this day, you know, you see people dress up as a costume as like Jack Skeleton.
And sadly.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. It's pretty dope to see though. You know, when I was growing up, my dad never let me watch it because he was like, it was too grotesque and shit. Like that's not a children's movie. So I never watched it, so I was, like, never, like, part of that crew. I didn't like watch it till like later and I was older and I'm like, I don't know, it wasn't
too much singing now.
I never got into the music or anything.
So Oingo Boingo was a band in the 80s, and their biggest song was Dead Man's Party, which is like everybody plays at the Halloween party. The singer is Danny Elfman. Now, Tim Burton loved that song and saw what Danny Elfman did with the song, making a little, you know, it was like a horror song, he used to sing, or a Halloween song, and turned it into pop. And so Tim Burton hires him to do Edward Scissorhands and Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
To be the composer of it. I mean, you know,
he did Beetlejuice.
Yeah, he did. He did. He pretty much done all the Tim Burton films.
Tim Burton did Beetlejuice?
Tim Burton did Beetlejuice.
What? Yeah. That was dope.
But, yeah, that's how his career got started. And, you know, he always kind of stuck to doing those kind of dark films. And, you know, he's a multi-Oscar winner.
Wow, that's dope. I mean, just imagine just being a band, and then someone's like, can you make the soundtrack for my freaking movie? It's like, oh, hell yeah, that's freaking dope.
Yeah.
That's like a lineup job right there for sure. And it gets your name out too, because, you know, everyone watches the movie. They want to hear the song.
Well, they don't even know his band was Oingo Boingo back in the day. Just know him as Danny Elfman.
But a lot of people do pay attention to the music, man. Like, I mean, you're just like, I never heard this band, or I never heard this, you know? So they get really intrigued, like, oh. Well, I know a lot of people be like, I need to look up the soundtrack for this movie because they're just so curious of the songs that play. So I'm sure that put that guy up there.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, well, I mean, look at his status now. Like,
he's pimp status.
He's a pimp.
Pimp Halloween
status. He's an OG.
OG Halloween status.
So while we're still on the topic of Danny Elfman, we're going to play another song for you guys, which is
Dead Man's Party.
Yo, boy.
Everybody's coming, leave your body out.
So when it comes to horror movies, I feel like the 80s was dominant.
It's always been the 80s, bro.
Like that's what it started, like so many like series of movies. Like whether it's Nightmare of Elm Street or Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. I think like one of my favorites. And it was scary to me too. I watched it the other day. The Evil Dead, Sam Raimi's The Evil Dead.
Oh yeah, Evil Dead,
dude. Like that movie's all fucked up, man. It's like all gory and gruesome, like nothing but hacking and shit.
Was it? Was it like a small budget film?
It was a small budget film. Yeah,
that shit still looks crazy though.
It was his first feature length film. And Sam Raimi actually, I guess he was still in college or something back then, and he made a couple of years prior, he made a short film, kind of the base, the same story about zombies and cabin stuff. And,
yeah.
And it was well enough that we got enough money to get producer, to get enough money to do like the Evil Dead. And, you know, it's like the small budget aspect of it. And, you know, there's no CGI or anything. And everything is like it's hard for me to watch sometimes because you know these people have these girls when they change into zombies they have like these white contacts in their eyes and like they engulf their whole eye and it looks so real and
you know
disturbing.
What I like about that movie a lot is that they use the camera to chase people.
Oh yeah, he did that. That's his signature thing that he does, Sam Raimi.
He did that with the whole like over like roar.
Yeah,
and he has the camera following them. They're just running at him from nothing, but. It makes me feel like they're seeing something that you can't. You know, they never really show what they're being chased from.
Yeah, and you know, like you know, some type of spirit.
It's some spirit.
It's like the Book of the Dead. That's what it was. They go to the cabin, and these people who rented the cabin before them, they were excavating somewhere, and they found the Book of the Dead, and mm-hmm. you know, they're reading the passages, and it just unleashes hell. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but he was that was his signature thing is doing those quick edits mm-hmm. and having the camera like kind of like zoom in as if like you know you're seeing what the demon or the monster is seeing the trees when the trees raped that girl pretty much. But he carried on because Sam Raimi that was the signature stuff was the Evil Dead which spawned several mm-hmm. series of it and he actually went the funny route later on doing the Evil Dead 2 is pretty much the same thing as the Evil Dead but a funny version. And then he did the Army of Darkness. And then I don't know how he ended up doing the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did all the first three Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and he had Danny Elfman do the score.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I don't remember the one. There's one scene. It was actually fucking scary to watch. And Sam Raimi went back to his old horror style of filmmaking was when which Spider-Man was it where he had the that doctor that had all the fucking claws. That's Mr. Octopus or whatever?
Second one, yeah.
What's he called?
Dr. Octavius.
Something
like that.
I don't remember. Do you remember when he finally came to life, the people were doing surgery on him, and then like the claws came to life on their own?
Yeah.
It killed everybody in there?
Yeah.
Sam Raimi went back to his old style of horror filmmaking, doing the whole thing with the camera, the fast zooms, and the fucking quick edits of these things massacring people. And it's like, damn, you can see it. You can see it. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was a dope movie too.
Yeah, but yeah,
I didn't know that he did that though.
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, it's so different because that's what he was just known for was Evil Dead, and you get this big old studio to give.
I can imagine him trying to take other movies, and you're like Evil Dead, I'm like God damn it, get over it.
Yeah, and another movie he did, the Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, that was a dope
movie. That was a dope fucking movie. I loved it.
That was cheesy as hell, but it was dope.
It was funny. You know, it was funny on purpose. It was, like, purposely funny.
Yeah.
But it was also scary, too, at the same time. There was, like, a lot of jump scares. And, you know, again, it goes back to his old quick style of editing. And, you know, you see the cameras, like, moving and shit. Like, you're the fucking monster. And,
yeah.
And it was fun to watch. And it was scary, too, at the same time.
Yeah, oh man, I just like those part. She always meets that old lady.
Yeah,
and she finds her dead or something, and somehow always grabs a piece of her hair and rips it off.
Oh yeah, that gypsy kind of kept like
that gypsy lady. Yeah. She's like, I begged you. I was on my knees and I begged you.
I think that's what started the curse, wasn't it?
Yeah, because she wanted to get a loan or something from her. She was missing the payments in her house or something like that. So they were trying to do foreclosure or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I want to watch that movie again because I've seen it several times, but it was actually a really good movie.
I was actually, when I saw the previews for it, and I was like, I didn't catch my attention. Then I started watching it. I was like, whoa, this movie is pretty gruesome and shit.
And even the very beginning, it starts off like, you know, they're in Mexico, I think, or something like that. They go to this mansion and they're doing a whole exorcism and shit. That shit was like scary too.
Yeah, they show like that giant goat or I don't know what it is. They just see his shadow or something. You never really see him. But you see him grab the girl and then bring her down the hill. Yeah.
Oh, that's what happens to her in the end of the movie. Like, you think that everything's all hunky-dory and shit.
Yeah.
And she goes on the subway.
The train tracks.
Yeah, the train tracks. Yeah, and the hell opens up and drags her down.
Hell
yeah. And her boyfriend's just like, he doesn't know what to do.
It's over, man.
Dude, I'm surprised they never made like a part two or part three because that was a good movie.
It was. I don't know what happened.
It could have been good spinoffs.
Oh, well, I thought it was great. That was a dope movie. I really underestimated that movie when I first saw it. Yeah. It just didn't catch my attention. Just, it was like, whatever. And then you watch it. It's like, oh, man, this is real life. You know, you remember Tales by the Crypt?
Tales of the Crypt, yeah. That was back in the 80s, the HBO series.
Yeah, it was 89 right there. That's when that one started.
89?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know they had the series, and then they ended up making a couple movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tales of the Crypt, I would watch it and stuff. When my dad was at home or when he was asleep, but I would turn it on. I'd be scared, but I would watch it. There's one that I remember. There's only one story I remember. It actually scared me, and it was the one where about the ventriloquist.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think I do.
All right, so there's ventriloquist that's all weird and shit, and you know, he has like a puppet and everything. And the puppet would say shit on stage that, and you could tell the guy's it's saying something that he's not controlling.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, he'll get nervous, whatever, run off stage. And it wasn't towards like the end of the episode where, you know, he got tired of arguing with the puppet, and he rips off the puppet, and his hand is another human being. Like, you know, like the kind of Siamese twin type of thing.
Uh-huh.
But it was like all deformed and shit and had eyes and a
oh,
mouth.
Oh, hell no.
And he couldn't control it. He had like his own thing. And that shit freaked the shit out of me, dude.
Oh, shit.
And I'm trying to think how he kills it. Like, you know, he eventually kind of, he gets a cleaver, I think, and it cuts off his hand. And the thing starts crawling because it has its own little hands and shit. And I think he finally kills it by putting it in a blender or something like that.
Oh, hell no.
Bro, it was something I wasn't expecting at all whatsoever. It scared the shit out of me, shocked me. Yeah, it was like this little deformed fucking head with eyes and a mouth and little tiny arms.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
The one I remember from Tales from the Crypt was, I don't know, I think it was the movie one where the guy goes into like a motel or house.
Bordello of blood. It was like a brothel, man.
Yeah, something like it was a brothel.
Yeah, I think it was a brothel.
But I just remember he had like this little special amulet or something. It has like this liquid. It keeps the devil away.
Keeps demons out.
The demons out. Something like that. I don't know.
Maybe that was Demon Night. I think it was called.
I don't know, but it was a trippy ass movie, man. I remember.
Kind of want to watch it. You know, I was watching some previews on it, or someone was talking about it. I'm like, yeah, I want to watch that movie. Because I remember watching it as a kid, and I liked it because it was like all like demons and gory and bloody.
It had a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of everything in that movie. I just remember it was just like the kid became a giant and squeezed like the main character. He kills him. Yeah. It was at the end. And it was like a little kid, and I guess he was reading one of his comic books, and he became like a giant.
Oh, he was probably reading the Tales of the Crypt comic book.
Yeah, that's what it was. And he grabbed that fool, and he's like, just squeeze him, blah. What the fuck? Yeah.
Okay, I gotta watch that movie.
I just remember that one of the girls became like a vampire or something. She kills, like, it was one of the, it was like a couple in there.
Hmm.
And she became something like a monster. She kills the guy.
I think I'm pretty sure the Bordello of Blood.
Is that what it was?
That was a vampire one, and then they had Demon Knight.
Maybe it's like Demon Night.
It was called Demons, whatever. But yeah, they're both pretty good. I remember watching them.
Mm. I just remember that fool's voice is so addicting. What was his name? The Tales from the Crypt, the main guy.
He was like,
yeah.
You know, I watched Shudder. You know that app Shudder? They just do strictly horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow got the rights and they started redoing the series of
oh wow
of Tales of the Crypt. And, you know, they got some pretty good actors, you know. Like, what was that one bad guy from Breaking Bad? He was in the first episode. Gus, the guy who owned the chicken.
Yeah.
He was in it. So, like, you know, I like that guy as an actor. So, you know, I got, like, the free trial. And I watched the first episode, and I just...
What?
Production quality wasn't there, man. Aww. Like, I couldn't take it serious. I had the kid also from Stranger Things was in it, and... I watched the first episode, and I was just like, nope.
It wasn't the same?
It wasn't the same, man. I couldn't watch it. But I don't know if it's still going on Shudder, but...
Aw, that sucks. Oh, well. I mean, it's hard to bring back something like that. Yeah. Like they try to bring that Twilight Zone. Remember that? I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah. You know, the previews look good, but I never watched the new stuff.
I never did. But I was just always afraid to try it because, you know, like, it's hard to... It's hard to fill in those shoes, man. Like, they left. They left these giant shoes, and it's hard to, like, give them justice. Because it's
so genius. Why is Owen so genius, you know? I didn't know it wasn't all Rod Sterling. You know, he was creator of the show, but I think all the stories were based off of somebody else. They weren't all his stories.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's the one who brought it to life. But, like, some of them are fucking scary. Even though they're made back in the 50s.
They were still 50s scary. 50s
and 60s, black and white. They were fucking scary, man.
I think there was one episode I saw was where the guy goes into, like, this... I don't know. I guess he wakes up in this world when there's nobody there but mannequins.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess the apocalypse happened, right?
No. It was just mannequins. And he would hear a phone ring. He would answer. No one... He'll hear people talk and turn around. There's just mannequins.
Oh, shit. And, I faintly remember it, yeah.
And then in the end, like, he starts screaming and going crazy. And then he wakes up, and it turns out that they were, like, woken him up. And it turns out he was, like, in his chamber to simulate him being in the moon by himself.
Oh,
because he was supposed to, like, be launched to the moon by himself.
What would be like to be isolated?
How does it feel? Yeah, that was supposed to simulate him to be by himself.
Yeah, that's fucking genius.
Yeah, so they were just like, now, yeah. He was like, he's like, you failed the test, man. He's like, next time. And it was just like, oh, hell no.
There's two of them that actually fucking scared me. The one was the Talking Tina. I think that was everybody's first introduction to demon dolls, like killer dolls and stuff. Talking Tina was a killer doll that she would say fucked up things to, like, the parents, saying, like, you know, you better do this, you better do that. And.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this doll had control over the daughter and stuff. And I guess I think the doll ended up killing the parents, too, somehow, one way or another, making them trip over down the stairs or something.
Oh, hell no.
So, like, that was, like, everybody's first introduction to that, you know, genre of horror. And then the other one was it was basically the devil. Had to do with the actual devil.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy... he's lost or something. He's lost in the mountains somehow or one way or another. And he finds this monk sanctuary, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
So he goes into the sanctuary. You know, it's not a monk. It is like a Christian or Catholic sanctuary. And he finds some refuge there out in the rain and stuff. And while he's there, he hears some horrifying howling. I can't explain it to you, but he hears this horrifying howling. And he goes to where he hears it, and there's somebody it's all locked up, has a cross on it, it's all boarded up, this door, and he hears it coming from there. He goes and see what it is, and he sees a human being in there, and the human being's asking him, like, let me out, they're keeping me trapped here. And, you know, these priests come and say, don't go near that door, don't touch it. Like, you see, like, I think it's covered with holy water or something. Anyways, it's all this stuff to protect whatever's inside there from getting out. They said, that's the devil.
Oh.
Like, don't let him out. He'll trick you. He'll wordplay you and trick you and stuff. And eventually, you know, the guy gives in and unlocks it and lets it out. And you see the human come out. And he starts grinning, and he starts walking. And you see him walking. You see him forming. He has hooves. He has horns growing out of his head and fucking tail and some type of cape. And it's the devil that he let out. And then it kind of cuts to the future where he realized he fucked up. And this is like, what, 30 years later, he's an older man. And he actually ends up catching the devil.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. And so kind of fast forward to the future. And he's in his own house, and he has a maid or something come to stay the night, whatever. And he tells the maid the story. He's like, whatever you do, no matter how much howling you hear come out of that room, you know, it's all boarded up with the cross and all this shit. Like, don't let it out. You know, eventually the devil works his way, toss speaking to the maid, and the maid lets it go again. And
the story goes on. Oh, hell no.
That was a scary one for me, dude.
Yeah, it sounds like it will mess with your head.
That one did. I think, I don't know which one more so. Probably more so than the Talking Tina one.
No, but that's pretty... Yeah. They don't make stories like that anymore.
Yeah, man. They don't. I mean, that's what started it all, too.
I know it's like old-fashioned writing, but it's some of it's kind of like, I don't know why, it just hits a little bitter.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of the 80s movies were just dumb. They didn't have all the CGI and stuff, and it just seemed more real when you're watching it. And,
yeah. Just like that werewolf movie you were telling me about earlier, like the old school werewolf movie, like, you know, it's just them, like, putting the fur and everything, but it just makes you feel like it's real. It's a lot of work. I'm pretty sure it was a lot of work to make that, but it was dope.
So then that was like horror stuff. Now you can just watch it and be like, whatever.
CGI, they're just like, I just put it on the computer. Like,
yeah.
Make them wear like a green suit or something.
Yeah, I guess, you know, horror stuff's come a long way. And,
you know what, something similar to that is, that I feel like they kind of did something like that without CGI. Too much CGI was Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah. I watched that this week, too,
on Netflix. Tim Burton.
It was a Tim Burton movie, but with Johnny Depp. And it was fun to watch than anything. It wasn't, like, horror, but it was a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it took... Yeah, Tim Burton put his take on Sleepy Hollow and Ichabod Crane, and
it just tripped me out because like that they call it, was it the freaking Tree of the Dead?
Oh yeah,
yeah, they're like punching it and kicking it and blows coming out of it.
Oh yeah, he was like trying to cut it, trying to break.
Yeah, and then found a bunch of freaking heads in it.
Oh yeah, of all the decapitated heads that the horsemen took.
Yeah.
And dude, like so many people got decapitated in that movie too.
Everyone, they had what's her name?
Christina Ricci from the Addams Family.
Addams Family, Casper. They had Casper Van Dien, the guy from Starship Troopers.
Yeah, he was in it for a little bit.
They had Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken didn't even say one line.
No, but that was the only movie he didn't talk.
He was scary as fuck too, because I guess, you know, he was kind of he was like ancient warrior. And he was so feared of that he filed down his teeth to be sharp as razors and shit.
Yeah.
And, he was pretty scary. Yeah, you know, he didn't even say one word.
He didn't say anything. He said, rah! That's all he said. Yeah. He just growled in that movie. They have, what's his name? Christopher Lee in it. There's one of the judges. They had a lot of famous people in that movie.
Yeah, the older people.
Yeah, for just like short scenes, but they were there. That's a trip. But that one was dope because they had like a freaking, they just like had like the witchcraft in it. They put witchcraft. They put like, it's the fact that Johnny Depp was going through a lot of dreams in that movie. And they were trying to like, I guess.
Oh, because his mother.
His mom was also accused of.
Witchcraft.
When she was just teaching him astronomy and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's like they tried to like make you scared, but they were also trying to make fun of it at the same time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They didn't believe in it as well. Like the Hitler's man, the Hitler's horseman.
And then you fucking appeared with that. That was pretty badass scene where they're all in the church and shit. Remember they all like hid in the church?
Yeah, they were like safe.
And they thought they were safe. The horseman fucking grabs like that pole out of the ground, fucking chucks it and kills. Was it one of the judges or something like that?
Yeah, it was one of the elders.
Yeah, and he fucking just drags him away.
Because he couldn't go inside the church, so he had to get creative. He made like he tied it with rope, right? And he just chucked it
and just fucking drags him out out the window.
There you go.
Yeah, no, that was a good movie. I think that's like what, you know, Tim Burton actually went more horror on that.
Mm-hmm.
He always stuck to gothic. This was a little more of a horror movie.
Yeah, a lot of blood in that movie. That's for sure. Oh, a lot of blood. Nah, but it was, man. For a Tim Burton movie, it was a lot of blood. They keep showing the scene where Johnny's Depp mom was like put in that that.
Yeah, they put her in the.
It's like a torture
press,
thing.
Yeah, the torture press.
It's like a press. Like it's all the spikes. It's like
all the spikes. Yeah,
it just bleeds you to death. That he's imagining opening and just her just pouring out blood.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they just kept showing that scene constantly throughout the movie. It's just like, hey, if you guys forgot it, here you go again. All right, well, we're getting close to the end, and this is was our Halloween episode. Hope you guys enjoy with our little stories and just the movies and music that we could relate to.
I think we probably could have gone on for another several hours just talking about movies.
Oh, and we can go forever.
Music, but we don't have all that time.
I mean, if you guys like it this much, we can go for part two.
Yeah. Do a part two.
Yeah, it's up to you guys, though.
We'll do a poll.
Yeah, we can do that.
Another Halloween episode.
We can do a lot of Halloween. More concentrated, more different movies we can go into.
Movies and music.
Yeah. We were just, this was just more in the moment. We're just having a regular conversation.
Yeah, we're trying to watch some horror movies the last couple of weeks to give us something to talk about.
Yeah, well, we're going more old school. But if you guys want to go, we can go modern, something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could talk on and on about, you know, like the Conjuring series. And
there's a lot.
Insidious.
Yeah. Oh, I love Insidious. Yeah,
those series are great.
But, yeah, so we're going to end it here. Thank you guys for sticking around, listening. We're going on to episode 4 next one. And we'll see where we go from there. So this last song is Marilyn Manson, his cover of This Is Halloween.
It's Halloween.